it looks like they were rebellious. So Rehoboam, who grew up with his friends, consulted his friends and consulted the wise men. The wise men all told him, listen to them. Listen to them. They are trying to improve. They are not trying to destroy. They are negative now about Solomon. Negative about the rule. But they are trying to improve. And Rehoboam didn't listen to the wise men. Listen to his friends. His friends built up his pride. And you can read the story in the Old Testament. Build up his pride and says, tell them this. That my little finger will be thicker than my father's thigh. In other words, if Solomon was tough, I'm going to be 100 times tougher on you. Guess what? He lost the 10 tribes. Instead of his kingdom become greater, his kingdom suddenly became smaller. Instead of being a king over 12 tribes, he was a king over mainly one tribe. The other tribe, Benjamin, just went along. 10 tribes pulled out. There was not much of a victory. What was the problem? He took a negative approach to a negative problem. When you respond negative with negative, every one of you who do maths knows that negative, when you add a negative, becomes a double negative. Minus 1 plus minus 1 equals minus 2. So when someone is negative and you react negative, you're going to compound the problem. But when someone is negative and you react positively, it eliminates it. Peace reigns. So it's how we approach the negative things that determines success or failure in our life. Remember this, every one of us face negative things. How we approach them. And you can turn negatives into plus. The people who succeed in life are those who have turned negatives into plus. Point number two, knowing your friends and your enemies. It's all part of this point of dealing with difficult things in this life, how we face difficulty. In the book of Psalms, chapter 1, it tells us here, Psalms 1, verse 1, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the paths of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water and brings forth its fruit in its season. Now, point 1 tells you about not watching who you mix with. Now, Rehoboam's problem was caused by him mixing with the people of his age, and he did not transcend above that. Did not listen to the wise men of his time. He failed as a king. He failed as a king. And the other guy who led the 10 tribe, Jeroboam, could have a tremendous career, but he also failed. He started building idols out of fear. Now in point 2 here, knowing your friends and your enemies, there are friendships and associations that are just plain not good for us. Full stop. Psalms 1 was 1. Full stop. People who sit in the seat of scornful, stand by the way of sinners, these are not good. Because it rubs on you. You hang around negative people long enough, you become like them. It rubs off on your thinking. It's not going to help. And this is a lesson in life for all of us. Who you mix with and fellowship with is important. Bring that into Christianity. Who you mix with among Christians will also affect. You mix with people with very little faith, your faith is going to come down to their level too. They're not going to come up to your level. You're going to come down to their level. Because things happen subconsciously. It's it a bit at a time. Who you mix with. So let me share some examples. Like in the business world, I know that in order to begin to deal with the millions of dollars, you have to somehow get some knowledge from the people who deal at that level. If you hang around people who are hawkers, not to say they are not, okay, they have their, okay, they will think like hawkers. And hawkers only think about making their next meal. So when they hang around people like that, they have their own language and their own talk. They talk differently. They only talk about life and surviving for the next day. But when you hang around people who believe that you can do more than that, that's in the business world, and you got to choose carefully because there are a lot of bad guys up there too. And when you hang around wrong people who are not expert in their fields, don't know how to handle those areas, they're going to pull you in the wrong way too. So you must discern those who are really bad from the good ones. And in a business is all about relationship. You know, right? Ministry is also about relationship. Christianity, soul winning is all about relationships. Relationships. So a lot of people out there in the business world, all my life in the ministry, I have some friendship with business people back home, but never really been in there up to my shoulders and ankles. Well, first thing I did, realizing Australia is a different country, I said, I've got to look around for the right people to hang with. So the first thing I approached the church pastor, I said, who are the top businessmen in town? Give me their names. Let me see if I can fellowship with them. Learn from them. So say with some of them, found out a few bad guys too. But after that, one thing leads to another. And then you begin to hang around people who think differently. You begin to have, guess what? Business opportunities. Because when you hang around businesses that think in terms of let's see how to do the next million, let's see how to do the next 10 million, they think differently. And they look for opportunities. Opportunities will come. But when you hang around hawkers who are out there selling their next donut, the thing that we'll think about is, let's see how to make the next donut. That's all they're going to think about. Now, if you're happy with that, and business is not your line, fine. But if you are called to the business world and you want to go higher, you cannot hang around that long enough. Bring it to the ministry. If we want to grow in our Christian life, you got to hang around Christians who are growing in the Lord. You hang around Christians who are worldly, they're going to pull you down. Or if a church wants to grow, you got to hang around people who talk growth and who believe in growth. And some of the people who are successful growing, you may not like them. Nobody likes one another easily sometimes. Well, some of the successful people got very obnoxious character. They're not very refined in their diplomacy and social skills. Some of them got an element of pride that need to be dealt with. Minus all of that, if someone succeeds, there's something we can learn, correct? Even if they're wrong in many areas, if they succeed in that area, you got to find out why they succeed. Because I believe this law in life. Everything has a cause and effect. Nothing is by accident. So even if somebody out there who seems to everybody that they cannot succeed, but they succeed in that area, and you know that there's a lot of things you should not learn from them, but there must be something you still can learn from them that make them where they are. Put them where they are. The same way. Now, not all of us have opportunities to fellowship with people like that. Some people like that just don't have the time. And guess what? You got books. You got the internet. You got resources. You learn from others. I only shook hands with Kenneth Hagin probably twice. Once when I visited him in 1981, there was with my wife in one of his school seminar. Second time was when he came around, he came to one section in the convention and he was shaking hands with people. But that's all I know. But yet, I learned from his life because he wrote many books. Read every book he had. And a lot of people have died. They're no more alive today. We still can learn from them. John G. Lake, Sadhu Sundar Singh. So you surround yourself with those books. And of course the best book is the Bible. The B-I-B-L-E. The Bible. Hang around the Bible. The people in the Bible think great things. Believe great things. God is a great God in the Bible. So you get this secondary relationship. You build around. And they will bring you up. They will bring you up. Who we mix with? Know your friends. Know your enemies. Why should we know our enemies? Because life is also as much knowing what not to do as knowing what to do. Many times people say, I don't know what to do. Well, that's fine. But do you know what you should not be doing? That's a start. If some people don't know what to do and they don't know what not to do, they are lost. Really, really lost. At least we need to know what not to do. And as far as knowing your enemies doesn't mean that you do things against them, because vengeance is God, not ours. But knowing your enemies also allow you to know which area and anything from as far as that is area is concerned is shut off. Because our main enemy is Satan. And they are in the world. You'll find out when your name becomes well known, whether among Christians or among non-Christians, there are people out there with only one purpose, to destroy. Fortunately, they are minority, but there are people out there. Their only motive is to destroy. Why are they that way? Why are they so evil? It's because they have yielded to anger, selfishness, and self-preservation. People like, you know the guy who shot John Lennon? Why do you think he shot him? Because all he wanted to do was, he thought that if he cannot be famous, so he can be famous as the one who killed John Lennon. What an evil person. You got strange guys like that out there. You know, out in the world you got very, very strange people. And believe me, in Christianity you got a few strange fellows too. And you don't know why they exist. It's like the purpose in life is only to cause misery. And the saddest thing is they know it not what they do. But it is done anyway. Know your friends, know your enemies. And that's from the book of Psalms there. Now, did Paul know some of his enemies? He identified them. You know, he made some enemies in the book of Acts 19 with a guy called Demetrius. You will find that this Demetrius was responsible for organizing an entire riot against the Apostle Paul in chapter 19, verse 24. Demetrius, a silversmith. Paul did nothing to him personally, but indirectly, it was all money. Paul's evangelism is costing money to him. People are being converted. When they're converted, they give up their idol worship. When they give up their idol worship, they don't buy idols anymore. If they don't buy idols anymore, he was an idol seller, business goes down. It's a very indirect way, but they all have a motive. And most of the time, their main motive is fame or greed. In Demetrius, you hear about him one more time in the epistles of Paul. And Paul says, watch out for that guy.